All right. I'm Alison. I teach at the University of Toronto, and I'm also involved with Climate Studio and Alpha through a company that I'm a part of, Salema. And through Salema, I get a lot of questions from our users about how to model frit, how to model diffusing material, and I didn't really know very well, so I took a little bit of a dive into this, and it's a little bit intimidating to speak about this in a room where like half of the people have a gonio photometer sitting around. I don't have one in Toronto, but there's been a long history of modeling both patterns and diffusion in radiance, like starting back in 1993, Georg Mischler wrote the perforate.cal file, which has been pretty much used for perforated materials or like regularly spaced dots. Glaze.seashell, the script by Jack and Greg, took like LBNL window data from the International Glazing Database, and would kind of give you the impact in terms of transmission of frit, but not like a pattern or even a diffusion information. There was this discussion between Jan Wienold and Greg on the Radiance mailing list in 2015 about how to model forward scattering with BRTD funks, and I wanted to use that, but then I quickly gave up because the CAL file for that was a little confusing to me. It also in 2015, Mustafa published a kind of color picked to image mapping automation with Anne. But when you get when you ask for frit on a glazing from a manufacturer, you get something like this. This is like an actual spec sheet from Viracon. I don't know if it's a little too small, but you really only get VLT and SHGC. You don't get a radiance definition, obviously. And if it's a diffusing frit, you don't get any information about the angular characteristics of that diffusion. So the question is, well, how could we do this realistically, especially given that there's like so many people with so many different products kind of asking me about this? So my goal was to measure some diffuse frit or surface materials, model them simply and perhaps a little chaotically in radiance, test their impacts in terms of glare and in terms of like overlighting and daylighting analysis, and to tell you everything that I did wrong along the way, maybe. So in order to do this, I set up a kind of like, I mean, this is a little low tech, but I set up a measurement box where I could put like three spheres on one side, the diffusing material in front, and like a nice, like, this is like, this is like a roughly Lambertian 28,000 candela per square meter studio light. So I have a fairly strong signal in measuring this, and I took HDR photographs of all of the samples that I had. So if you'd like to see some of them, I can pass little bits around the room. Oops. The ones that are mounted on acrylic didn't really do very well inside my suitcase. The glass ones are still pretty nicely surface quality. But you know, so you can get a kind of sense of what the transmission through these different types of surface treatments look like. These are from vitro glazing. These are tinted versions of the same thing from vitro glazing. These are 3M films applied, which you could either do as like a privacy screen or internal to an IGU. So overall, the kind of takeaway is that there's a pretty wide range of diffusion levels available, just in terms of like what you might be interested in. And if you combine that with patterns, it gets even more varied in terms of what you could have. I also wanted to measure their angular characteristics to some degree, and again, this is like super low tech. I would want a gonio photometer for this, obviously. But you know, I set up like effectively was the equivalent of a radiance spotlight and measured it with a luminance meter at 15 degree increments. I could turn the thing if I wanted to get like off normal transmission. And what I learned from this is that, you know, 15 degrees is not really adequate angular resolution. I think anyone who measures these would know most of the time. So you can kind of see, like, I can get the direct normal transmission pretty easily, and then, like, almost everything goes effectively to zero, or many of them go effectively to zero by 15 degrees. And so there's, you know, that's not enough information to derive any sort of distribution from. But for the ones that are the most diffusing, you actually do get a bit more information. So, like, So like this one, which is from 3M, called Milk and Milk, which is my favorite name for a surface treatment as well. You can kind of see that like, the normal penetration is pretty low, but it's diffused quite strongly across like all the angles. And some of the other ones are not fully like going to zero until you hit like 30 or 45 degrees. Yeah.
Something like the surface coating, I think a milky one. You measure one side versus the other, so that aren't you going to get something different?
It's possible. I didn't try it. It could be. But I measured it from the. Good question. I mean, I measured it directionally, so maybe it makes sense. But yeah, it's there's probably some reflected component there that I'm not accounting for. Here's just the images overlaid on top of that graph. And so in terms of getting to modeling it, the first thing I did was I just kind of like made a rendering of my setup. So I measured everything in terms of materials with the Konica Minolta. I defined the light source as a glow material based on a measured luminance from a luminance meter. And the luminance render versus HDR were pretty okay. There's like some specular reflections off of the acrylic sheets that aren't accounted for in the render, which kind of makes sense. But otherwise, I was kind of happy, and the reflection of the layout of the lamp, I made sure was at the same luminance level from the rendering and the HDR, because that's important as like a glare source later on, potentially. And I also set up basically a kind of very simplified virtual Gonio photometer, sort of, with a radiance spotlight, like a single plane material, and then like luminance sensors at 1 degree increments from direct normal to 89 degrees. And then the material plane is in a separate RAD file, so I can exform it very easily if I want to like move things around. And so my hypothesis was that, you know, if I don't want to deal with learning a BRTD funk today, that I could use a rough trans more easily to kind of match that material model to the actual transmission. Of course, the problem with trans is that it has no angular component, right? Like, so this is a glass with a T-vis of 50% compared to a trans with a T-spec of 50%. And I'm rotating the plane 1 degree across all of these measurements. And you can kind of see like glass follows Fresnel and trans is just the same no matter what you do to it. So my extremely lazy approach was just to put a glass in front of a trans. The glass controls the transmission, the trans controls the scattering. They're like the distance of an IGU apart, which is actually more like kind of realistic as to what the real system would be, because you would coat either surface 2 or 3, or if you have a 3M, you'd put it on surface 4 of a double pane IGU. So we can compare, like this is without any scattering, but this yellow line, which is the glass with the 50% T-vis and a 100% spec trans behind it. This is a 1.09 transmissivity or 100% T-vis glass with a 50% trans, which gives a different distribution, which I was not initially expecting, but I guess it makes sense. And, you know, with better measurements, you know, we might be able to say something in between this might make more sense, but I felt like this was okay. Like, this gets a reasonable approximation of what's happening. And then this is my first rendering test. So here's HDR of one of these 3M materials compared to a rendering of it. It's a bit noisy because I didn't sit around watching it for too long. And this wasn't the first one, but one of the first ones. And then versus the kind of measurement on the left-hand side and the virtual ground. Of course, this is completely wrong because here, I've got 2 points of data. I've got like direct normal and 53, which is zero. And here, you know, I'm kind of imagining that transitions smoothly between 0 and 15, but in reality, it could be anywhere in between. This is one of these situations where I need better angular measurements, but I don't have them. I've already been 10 minutes. That's terrible. So what I did was I started making semi-calibrated materials for this. So for the first two, Milky Milky and the Two-Faced Velour, there I had enough angular data to actually pretty much build these materials without using rendered calibrations at all. And for the last two, they're basically all rendered calibrations, and the material measurements were only really useful for the direct normal. So just as an example of what this looks like, you know, this one is a glass in front of a trans with some parameters like this. And this is for later on in the presentation, but it's just if you want to apply patterns, you might use something like this. And this one on the bottom is just a glass in front of a slightly different trans. With regards to frit patterns, they add a lot more complexity, obviously, because you're mixing different like transmission properties. And they can wreak havoc on some things like the LM83 annual sunlight exposure calculations, because whether a dot casts a shadow on a sensor is like functionally random. So I wanted something from this presentation to be like useful to people. So I took the work originally by Abel Barama and Georg Mischler, who I don't think I've ever met actually, which started like 30 years ago with perforate.cal, and like made some slight modifications to it. It's my first cal file. It's pretty simple, obviously, because it's just a slight modification. But this allows offset dots instead of like regular gridded dots. Like I said, the one thing to think about with this is each one of these little red cylinders with a pole in the middle is like a 30 centimeter sensor spacing. And if you're calculating something like annual sunlight exposure, if a little frit dot falls upon one of these, it's going to say that's not sunlit. But if you're a person in this space, obviously that's sunlit, right? So in an annual simulation, it probably makes sense just to reduce the transmission of your glass for a opaque frit with, based on its coverage percentage. For a rendered glare calculation, you can, put the frits in, obviously. So now we can simulate stuff like this from the Viracon catalog. I also modified perforate.cal a little bit more for gradients. This is a kind of great gradation of dot radii from bottom to top, where you can flip it from top to bottom. You can look at the presentation for the definition of this later on. I don't want to read the whole cal file. So now it becomes a little trickier as well, because you have an uneven distribution of light across the window, so you can't just reduce the transmission. In this case, I think you probably just run this like it is, or split your glass into two sections and reduce the top transmission for an annual calculation. But for a rendering, this is also fine, theoretically realistic. And this really exists on buildings. This is the Frank Gehry building on the High Line in New York with a gradation frit. Okay. So I wanted to just test this in terms of glare reduction potential, and so I ran a clear glass frit with opaque white, 70% reflectance, and then my three diffusing materials, three patterns, one with full coverage, one with 40% dot coverage, and one with the top to bottom gradient, a very simple model with one view, and one single day, which happens to be from the TMYX data for Toronto, September 17th, from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 30-minute intervals. I generated HDRs and then evaluated them with EvalGlare 3.02, which I think is the latest version. So here's what they look like. Here's a rendering with full glass across that day. So you see you get like some direct sunlight in the morning and then like high angle, but on your desk a little bit sunlight in the afternoon. Here's with the 40% dot pattern on opaque. So the dots there. Here's the gradient. You can kind of see like the top portion of the sky is a bit more blacked out. This is the only one that's the trans material. And these renderings I'm showing you is the Velour Vitro calibrated trans material across the day, and it's full coverage. So there's no intense shadows here. So for baseline with the glass, we get a good range of DGPs. You get like a really strong peak when you see the direct sun in the morning around 0.9 to 1. And then throughout most of the rest of the day till the early afternoon, you have DGPs in excess of 0.45, which is intolerable, not disturbing. But that was my typo on the slide. When we look at the 40% coverage dots, what ends up happening is probably no surprise. Glare is worse for all of the case of the translucent dot patterns, and then better for the opaque dot pattern. But actually, it was more better than I expected because it brought the kind of glare evaluation down to between 0.35 and 0.4. For the gradient version, it's more of the same. You have higher instances of predicted BGP for the diffusing materials, and you're getting close to the 0.35 line for the opaque material. And for full diffuse coverage of a material, which wouldn't be so typical in an architectural space, but just as an example, it can get actually quite bad. The very most diffusing one basically turns your whole window into a glare source at some point, and so you end up with like DGPs peaking at like 0.7 for most of your whole afternoon period. So the black line in all of these is the glass-only case, and you can kind of see how the modeling changes relative to that. And then I tested it a little bit I didn't calculate ASE because I know the incidence of direct sunlight is a little silly, but I used UDI, so exceeding 3,000 lux. And so on the left-hand side is full of glass, this is mean luminance on the top, and over 3,000 is, on average, is pink. And here's the hours of over 3,000. And the middle is the opaque white frit, and for that one, because it's an annual simulation, I reduced the transmission of the glass and didn't actually model the dots. And then the right-hand side is the gradient from top to bottom, where I did model the dots because of the unequal transmission of the glass from top to bottom. And there's not so much really unexpected here, obviously, but one thing that is kind of that I found a little bit nicer is when you have like a higher intense, like more frequency at over 3,000 lux, less heat to the space with this one versus this one, but relatively similar overall to like distributions. So a couple of caveats. One is, I think, quite big, which comes from materials.pdf talking about that if a ray passes through a rough surface, then it doesn't, like, light sources don't get tested upon reflection with other surfaces. So I think this means that reflections of sources like the sun won't be found when passing through a trans material first, unless it's like a direct view to the sun. So for example, like reflected glare off of a neighboring building might not be found with this kind of modeling approach. And like when I was rendering that sphere, I shouldn't have done all of it, gone back, but now it's too late. When I was rendering the reflections in this sphere, I had to set the shadow test, I had to turn off shadow test rays to actually see the reflection, otherwise it would just be missing. So that's the biggest caveat with this. I'm not sure if BRTD funk directional diffuse would fix that or not. Or Greg says no. Darn it, Greg. Okay, so for reflected glare, maybe we need like a tensor tree BSDF or something. I don't know. But and then of course angular distributions, like from my simple measurements, they don't really characterize exactly what's going on. Really, like if it's really important to get an angular distribution like absolutely correct, you need better measurements than what I've done. So that's it. I have to thank the people who very nicely sent me like glass materials, which have now like taken over my entire office somehow. Thanks for listening.